Good morning and a warm welcome on behalf of Valora to all of you. My name is Franz Julen. I'm the Chairman of the Board, and today, for the first time as the Chairman of the Board, I have the honor and the privilege to address a few words to all of you at Valora's Investors Day. I can tell you today, I'm a happy and proud Chairman of Valora. Why? Only almost 6 months ago, I became Chairman of the Board, and in the last 6 months, we had a lot of discussions among the board, together with the management, about our future priorities, our future business model, our strategies, I mean, the future of Valora. Quite fast, we came to the conclusion that after a few years where our main priority was on focus and focus and again focus, that now it's the time to grow again and to become more international. Having said that, we asked us in which business field, in which area should we grow and become more international? And we came to the conclusion we want to do that in food service / convenience. We want to play a leading role in this business area in retail, in wholesale, but we also want to play a leading role in the consolidation process, which is about to happen in the food sector and convenience area. And that's why I'm proud today that after only 6 months of presidency, we can present you today two important, I mean, even game-changing steps in this direction, which are fully in line with the strategy I just mentioned, and which I consider also important. It was decided within the board and within the management on a unanimous basis. As you are all familiar, it's on one side the acquisition of Backwerk, which we realized in an exclusive sales process, and then the investment in our production capacity in the Brezel area. So let's start with a few highlights on Backwerk. As every successful retailer, Backwerk developed, adapted a lot its assortment, its store concept, its services in the last few years. And today, Backwerk is a unique self-service snacking concept with a strong brand recognition in Germany. A strong brand, a credible brand, a well-known brand linked to a clear positioning, a clear concept is a success factor of every retailer in every area. Backwerk's business system, business model is based on franchising. It's a franchising concept, and we at Valora, we strongly believe in franchising for two main reasons. In the franchising system, the store owners, they are entrepreneurs. They fight every day for their own balance account, for their own profit and loss account. And this entrepreneurial spirit linked to their market knowledge, their consumer knowledge is a huge advantage. And these entrepreneurs, they are so close to the market, so close to the consumer, their consumer insight is remarkable. Additionally, this franchising concept proved to be successful not only in Germany, it proved to be successful in Holland, in Austria, and it supports our intention to become more international. And we all know Valora's DNA is high traffic location. Backwerk is also at high traffic locations. But Backwerk is also successful in inner cities, So it gives us the possibility to have here a concept in high traffic location, but also inner city locations. Therefore, this acquisition will further strengthen our competence and our capitalization in the very trendy out-of-home food consumption. Every market research clearly shows that out-of-home convenience products is a huge trend in the upcoming years, and therefore this acquisition will also contribute to our overall margin expansion in our core business, I mean food service. Secondly, the expansion of our production capacity, it's a logical step. It's a logical step. We have already invested in the production capacity in Germany in the last few years, and we have acquired Pretzel Baron a few months back. So this further investment in the USA and in Germany is a logical step, and it's a step in the two most important markets, Germany and USA, for pretzels. So this production capacity expansion also supports the strong momentum I've just mentioned in the out-of-home market, and it further strengthens the vertical integration. And a retailer who has more as much as possible his value chain under control, these are the retailers who will be successful in the next couple of years. So making a long story short and simple, we want to grow, we want to become more international, we want to do that in food service, in retail, in wholesale, and these two steps make a lot of sense for our strategy. Now I'm happy to hand over to the management team. We will start with our CEO, Michael Müller. He will present the food service strategy, and he will give us further details about these acquisitions, the reason behind. Afterwards, the CEO of Backwerk, Karl Braukmann, will make you more familiar with the company itself. After a coffee break, Thomas Eisele will present you the expansion of our production capacity. And last but not least, our CFO, Tobias Knechtle, will present the financials. Thank you, and the floor is yours, Michael.
Thank you very much, Franz. So also on behalf of the management team, a very warm welcome here in the Cosmos. The Cosmos is a development by one of our major landlord partners. It's owned by SBB, operated by a group of people who are quite active in the cultural life here in Zurich. It's a brand new location, and we're very proud that I think we are hosting definitely one of the first investors day here, but probably one of the first more formal meetings in that location. So as Franz said, in the first step, I would like to give you a quick overview on our food service strategy, frame the acquisition in the light of the strategic discussion. All of you know, Franz mentioned it, over the last couple of years, main focus was strengthening of our core business, divesting non-core activities, and ultimately also acquiring the Naville business, and therefore further strengthen the core business here in Switzerland. Today, we are very proud that we are a focused retailer, food service operator in the German-speaking market. We operate together with Backwerk more than 2,800 points of sales at high-frequency locations, and we are proud to manage a portfolio of iconic brands and private labels. Beyond the retail operations, we put a lot of emphasis to develop our pretzel manufacturing business in order to support the vertical integration of our business, and ultimately also engaged in developing our digital activities over the last 2.5 years. So in terms of strategy, in terms of our value proposition, the way we describe it is along two pillars. So we operate a retail convenience business on one side and a food service business on the other side. We have in both businesses a very strong market position in the markets we operate. We will see how the market position developed with the acquisition of Bachwerk on the food service side. You're all very familiar with our retail business here in Switzerland, but also in Germany. Over the years, we managed to become one of the leading players in the convenience space through our more familiar brands like P&B, but also with Zigo, Service Store DB, convenience stores. We operate together with Deutsche Bahn and the recently introduced brand Avec in Germany, which had quite a successful start. Secondly, we put a lot of emphasis over the last couple of years to strengthen our capabilities to vertically integrate the business, meaning that we are not only distributing products, but we more and more also develop our own products, and on the food service side, even produce our own products. You're all familiar with the pretzel manufacturing. We will come to that. Thomas will present our latest initiative on the capacity expansion. But also on the retail side, we put a lot of emphasis on developing our private labels and new services, partly purely digital service, be it under the brand of OK or Bob, our consumer financing activities. We presented you as part of our annual result, our new strategy along four pillars: growth, efficiency, innovation, and culture. And what we announced today supports all these pillars. On the growth side, quite clearly, as Franz said, one of our main areas of focus for the management over the last couple of months. We are able to expand in existing markets. We acquire with Bachwerk an operations that is mainly active in Germany, but we can also use the well-established platform that Bachwerk developed over the last couple of years to enhance and accelerate our international growth, mainly in Austria and in the Netherlands. And we are able to further invest in our successful format and the Ditch B2B business through the capacity expansion that we announced. On the innovation side, also very important for our convenience business. Convenience more and more becomes a business that is dependent on fresh, innovative products in the food space. With Bachwerk, we acquire one of the leading concepts that help us to further strengthen that part of our business, not only within the Bachwerk setup or the Bachwerk network, but also beyond that in our other stores. There are a lot of capabilities on the supply chain, on the operations in the stores that we can use to further strengthen our business across the whole network. And last but not least, Franz mentioned, Bachwerk is operated in a franchise business model, which is a very entrepreneurial way of developing and growing a network. We heavily depend on these entrepreneurs in our stores. It will further strengthen the entrepreneurial spirit across the group and therefore also supports the cultural development of Valora going forward. First of all, Bachwerk is an acquisition that will be consolidated on the food service side. Food service, a business that we started to develop after the acquisition of Ditch Brezelkönig. These are the 2016 financials we managed already to grow that business quite substantially to a level where it became a very important part of the group. And with the acquisition of Bakware, quite obviously, we will further increase the contribution of that business. We have already today quite a strong market position in the food service space, specifically on the B2B side. We're one of the world's market leader in the Brezeln or Lye bread manufacturing space. We're definitely the leader in that space here in Switzerland with the Brezelkönig format on the retail side, but also Ditch in Germany is a very well-known and well-developed retail concept, as we're going to see later on. The food service strategy, as I mentioned, is a new venture that Valora entered in pretty much 5 years ago through the acquisition of Ditch Brezelkönig. Since then, we applied a buy and build strategy in that space. It started actually way before that, in the year 2000, when Valora established the Spectacolo coffee brand. It was an initiative that went way back when Valora, which is a group, has its roots actually in the coffee and chocolate trade, remembered that they had that strength and capability and started to develop coffee bars. It was a quite overlooked part of the business, the coffee business, 5 years ago. And we decided as a management around 4 years ago that coffee will become much more important, not only on the coffee bar side, so operating Spectacolo cafes here in Switzerland, but as a key ingredient for our convenience business. And that's exactly what we did. We invested, first of all, in the brand, in the experience, in the stores in Switzerland, here in Switzerland, and only recently established a completely new concept for these bars. We opened so far two coffee bars in Biel and Lausanne with a completely new Italian-style store format. And we used the brand also to expand it in our convenience network. So far, only within 1 year, we opened 650 or more than 650 coffee modules in our existing network. And by doing that, further strengthened our capabilities in the coffee space and contributed quite well to the overall experience in these stores. Then in 2012, as I mentioned, the acquisition of Ditch Brezelkönig, quite a defining moment for the group to enter in the food service space. Since then, we developed the network of Brezelkönig here in Switzerland very successfully, but also Ditch in Germany. We're very pleased with the development, not only in terms of store count, but also in terms of adding new products, developing new concepts within the stores. And ultimately, we were very happy with the development of the B2B business, so the production side of Ditch. We experienced quite tremendous growth in that business, not only in its core markets in Germany and Europe, but also well beyond, specifically in the US, and continuously invested in that business over the last 5 years. Mentioning the US as being one of the growth drivers for the B2B business led us to the acquisition of Brezel Baron that we signed right at Christmas days last year, closed the transaction in January. Since then, we have also seen at Brezel Baron a quite nice development of that business. Brezel Baron has to be perceived as a pretty much as a startup operation. So we acquired an operation with one line. We acquired a team that is extremely experienced in that space. And we will continue now to invest in that business. And you will hear more about that from Thomas later on. And now, today, I'm also very proud, very pleased to be able to announce the acquisition of Backwerk. Backwerk will be another major milestone for the development of that business at Valora. We have significant opportunity to develop that business, not only on a standalone basis, but also to benefit from the experience, the capability in that business for our overall network. So in terms of details on the acquisition of Backwerk, Backwerk, excuse me, is a landmark acquisition for Valora in this out-of-home snacking market. We will further strengthen the capabilities, our market position in that space, a space that is growing, that is rapidly growing, that is gaining of importance. We see sustainable, resilient trends in that space. We are absolutely certain that we have now established a market position that will help us to benefit from these trends. And in the combination with our remaining network, specifically Ditch, we become the market leader in that space in Germany, a highly attractive market for us. As Franz said, Backwerk is a very well-known and highly attractive franchise concept. So it's not only well-known on the consumer side for its brands, for its product offering, but it's also very well-known on the entrepreneurial side, on the side of the potential franchisees. They highly appreciate the opportunity to open these stores, to operate these stores for the network. And Backwerk has been recently in several countries been best rated as one of the leading franchise concepts. The franchise concept as such, and Carl, the CEO, will talk you through the details later on, benefits also from an asset-light structure for the franchisor. Backwerk is holding all the lease agreements, so quite similar to the Valora franchise model. We are holding our lease agreements as well to control the location. But at Backwerk, the franchisee is investing in the store. Therefore, all the store investments are not on the Valora balance sheet, but rather with the franchisee. The franchisee partners are also very well diversified. We operate the business as a single franchisee, or predominantly as a single franchisee model, which means typically a franchisee has only one or a limited number of stores he operates. This strengthens this entrepreneurial spirit, the local know-how of the franchisees, and ultimately avoids significant dependencies on larger operator, as you see in some other situations. Most importantly to us, and you will see that later in Carl's presentation, Backwerk managed quite a substantial transition from a concept that started and rooted in a discount bakery concept into a format that is today well known for its feel-good food, quite a trendy new food offering. It developed the ability to adapt to new trends, adding new products, and shifted quite substantially the value creation into the stores, and helped to develop new products together with the franchisees. Last but not least, because Backwerk is operating a much broader assortment compared to Ditch, the broad assortment results in a significantly higher capture rate, which ultimately means that we can operate these stores at a much more diverse location than we can do at DITCH. DITCH is a concept that works extremely well at high-frequency locations like railway stations. We had also a couple of inner-city locations that worked very well, but the less dense, the lower the frequency, the more challenging it is to operate DITCH stores successfully, whereas Backwerk, with a higher capture rate based on a broader assortment, can operate other locations in inner cities at a very successful on a very successful level, which helps us to address new areas in the market that we were not able to go after in the past. I mentioned the international expansion. Backwerk is an established platform for, or established a platform for the international expansion quite a few years ago, entered successfully Austria and the Netherlands. We see in both markets huge opportunities now to further invest and to develop the brand and the network. And we will also quite obviously benefit on the Bretzel-König international activities from these platforms. So quite obviously, we will add our brand to this platform, and together with the teams, the local teams in these markets, we'll try to accelerate our own store growth for Bretzel-König and the Bretzel-König concept. And sitting here in Switzerland, knowing that there are only two Backwerk stores and probably also two Backwerk stores where Carl is probably not very proud of, if I may say so. We have a huge opportunity in our home market here in Switzerland. Quite obviously, we will bring Backwerk to Switzerland, and I'm quite optimistic that we can develop successfully the brand also here on the basis of our strong network, strong relationships we have with the key landlords here in Switzerland. So overall, for Valora, it's a highly synergistic deal. It provides a scale that will improve our sourcing capabilities. Just to mention one dimension, we will, in our view, become, through the acquisition, one of the leading suppliers of coffee in the German-speaking Europe. This will change completely for us the basis on which we negotiate with our suppliers in that space. It's a complementary assortment that will help us to ultimately further develop our convenience capabilities in the existing markets and in terms of the geographic presence. First of all, we acquire a business in a market, Germany, that we know very well. We are very well established through DITCH, through our retail activities in Hamburg. We know the market extremely well. There are a lot of opportunities to further develop the German market. But beyond that, we see, as I mentioned, a lot of opportunities also to grow the business internationally. And last but not least, quite clearly, what we mentioned here on the slide as cross-selling, it's quite obvious. We manufacture pretzels. Backwerk sells pretzels. So far, Backwerk does not buy from DITCH the pretzels. So that's a quite clear opportunity. We also have within the DITCH network other products that we can use, like the pizza, where we're quite famous for in the German market, then can be sold through the Backwerk network. And last but not least, you all have the OK energy drinks at your seat. Obviously, this is another opportunity to use our private labels that we developed over the years to sell it in the Backwerk channel. This is the slide that, to me, explains in one chart pretty much what changed for Valora. We have been looking at the top 10 snacking concepts in Germany, pretty much at the end of the top 10. Backwerk has done much better than we did in the past, also given the broader assortment, broader capture, more opportunities to address more locations. In the combination of Ditch and Backwerk, we're becoming now the number one snack provider in Germany, with all the benefits of the scale of such a platform, the opportunities to develop and expand the business together and to cross-sell our products. In terms of the transaction highlights, we acquire 100% of Backwerk from EQT, a Swedish financial investor, and a couple of other minority shareholders. The enterprise value is 190 million on a cash and debt-free basis, which on the basis of a net revenue of 55 million, and an operating margin of roughly 26% EBITDA in 2017 translates into an EBITDA multiple of 13 times, and this is before synergies. And we see, in terms of synergies, a yearly single-digit million potential. In terms of the timing, we expect to close the transaction in Q4 this year. We have to wait for the approval of the German Bundeskartellamt, and ultimately we'll hope to close, as I mentioned, the transaction in Q4. In terms of transaction highlights, I think I went through these bullets, but in a more financial way, quite obviously, the acquisition will further strengthen the financial profile of Valora in terms of growth opportunities and ultimately also in terms of our margin profile. And this is also a result of the fact that we have been able to engage in this transaction on a exclusive basis with the support of the senior management team that sits here together with me, that went through a quite an intensive process over the last 3 months and that has been supported by an experienced external deal team. And on that note, I'm very happy now to introduce you to Karl Braukmann. Karl, he's the CEO of Backwerk.
Du weißt, dass ich die Zeit.
Danke. Before we get to the movie. And Karl will, after a short introductory movie, will talk you through the details of Backwerk, how they developed Backwerk as a concept in Germany, took it beyond the new markets, and what are the key ingredients of the success of that concept. Thank you very much for your attention.
Du bist Realist. Du weißt, dass sich die Zeit nicht zurückdrehen lässt. Je schneller die Welt sich dreht, je digitaler und komplexer sie scheint, umso größer wird deine Sehnsucht nach dem Echten. Du weißt aber auch, dass nicht mehr alles in althergebrachter Weise gemacht werden kann. Tradition verändert sich. Essgewohnheiten verändern sich. Du hast dein Leben der heutigen Welt angepasst. Die Erfüllung deiner Sehnsüchte findet ihre Heimat nicht in einem Entweder-Oder, sondern in einem Sowohl-als-auch. Sowohl modern als auch traditionell. Sowohl global als auch lokal. Sowohl Industrieprodukt als auch Handgemachtes. Sowohl rational als auch emotional. Sowohl Qualität als auch günstig. Sowohl schnell als auch frisch zubereitet. Geben wir den Menschen ein Sowohl als auch, anstatt sie beim höchsten Gut, dem Essen, vor die Wahl zu stellen. Keine Kompromisse mehr, weder bei der Qualität noch beim Preis. Fast Food war gestern, Feel Good Food ist heute. Backwerk.
Yes, from my side. Hello, good morning, ladies, gentlemen. We've heard now twice what a great acquisition that is. And that makes me feel good because we were the guys who were acquired. And that's something very important. By who do you get acquired? We were private equity owned. And when you're private equity owned, you always know it's a matter of time until you're sold again. And Michael said it. It was an exclusive process, something a seller normally does not like. Why did our previous owner sell us in an exclusive process? Because there was a lot of trust in the people active on the Valora side. And we considered it a perfect match. So we, as a management team, we felt this would be a good home for our company. To state this abundantly clear, the entire senior management team of Backpack wanted Valora to buy us. So it feels like a sort of happy marriage, if I may say. I hope that feeling continues over time. So let's talk a bit about Backpack. Who are we? What are we doing? Right now, we operate something like 340 stores, most of them in Germany. So we're still a predominantly German company. You see 55% of locations are city locations, 34 traffic, 11 other, with some of them you could argue. But basically, we have a concept that works wherever people travel, where they commute, where they spend time. We need high-frequency locations. So practically all our locations are at high-frequency points. That's something which we have in common with Valora. And where did we internationalize? In the pre-EQT times, when we were still owner-led, we decided never to spend money. So we never really invested into going abroad, going international. That changed with EQT. And so please don't ask me too much about the two stores in Switzerland and the four or three in Slovenia. Well, let's talk about Austria and the Netherlands, because this is where we put focus. This is where we invested time and money and resources, management time. And I believe I can say we're doing very well, and particularly in the Netherlands. 13 may not read as much. But please bear in mind, we bought back a master license fall 2014, then hired a local management team, adapted the concept, and right now, this day, we're in the process of rolling out. And we're doing this very successfully. You should always be careful in making plans as a management team, because you might look it up someday and tell, well, at the time you said. But here I really strongly believe we'll grow by something like 8 to 10 stores per year as of next year. We do have the management team there now. The Dutch love our sandwiches. We don't sell any bread or rolls, none. We sell a whole lot of juices, freshly squeezed juices, for example. And we're strong at coffee. So this is where we are. And I believe with this, we have given proof that the concept can be internationalized and can serve as a good platform. I understand particularly the Netherlands hasn't been on the radar of Valora so far, but I'd really like to bring it up into focus, because I think it's a great country with lots of opportunities for us. And if Valora helps us to do something recognizable and worthwhile in the Switzerland, I'd really love that. I'd really love that. All right. Corporate history. Store development 2003, 2016. Looks like, hey, we've always been successful. That's been a continuous development. That's a beautiful story. Unfortunately, it's not the truth. We started off as a discount bakery. The basic difference to the past is in the past, people would produce at a central point of production and then distribute it. If you do that with bread and rolls, you end up with poor products. What we did is we bought the raw dough and we baked it in the stores. And therewith, it was fresh. It was fresher. And if you compare it to the traditional bakery, you have the cost advantages of a large production scale. If you're cheaper and more fresh, so it's a product differentiation and it's a cost advantage, you cannot help but have success. The trouble is, around 2010, the German retail industry picked up this trend. Aldi, Lidl, and all the others. They started to install bakeries in their supermarkets. And with that, basically, we lost our business model. Nobody needed cheap bread and rolls in inner city and traffic locations anymore. We reinvented ourselves and figured, well, out-of-home consumption is a trend, so we hop on that train. By that, we became the second largest seller of coffee in Germany. We're selling loads of Coca-Cola water, and filled rolls is our biggest product group. We've collected many key awards over the years. We became Franchisor of the Year in Germany, Franchisor of the Year in Austria, won all prizes for customer satisfaction. This year, we won the German retail prize for the highest customer satisfaction in our part of retailing for the third year in a row. So I believe we've done not too badly. But then again, it still feels like we haven't gone far enough in becoming the destination. So we're in the midst of, again, sharpening the concept, going one step further, becoming an even cooler place you really want to go. That's what we call feel-good food. And that's what we're rolling out right now. The business model, I can explain that in a few words, very simple. Starts by saying, we don't own anything. No production, no trucks, no buildings. We don't own anything. What we do have, we have contracts. We secured the best locations in the country. And we hold all the rental contracts. And we sublease to our franchisees. So we're in control of the system. Very important. Then we have suppliers. We negotiate with the suppliers what kind of products they sell, and we negotiate at what kind of prices they sell. And we charge a premium, which the supplier gives us in form of a kickback, a rebate. Our franchisees do know that. They're aware of that fact. We make this transparent. This is one of the sources of revenues for us. And the third is we simply get franchise fees, as every franchisor does. And with these kind of three, rent, kickbacks, and franchise fees, these are our sources of income. And this is what we make our profit on. I believe we're a good target to have been bought because we're in a beautiful market. We're in a market that has been growing now for many years continuously and is continuously growing further. And there is not the slightest hint on the horizon that would tell us otherwise. The market is out-of-home consumption. I suppose that same Switzerland and Zurich too. People tend to eat lesser and lesser meals at home, cooked, sitting a family around the table. It's culturally, that's something beautiful, but that's not the eating habits of today. So people eat small bits and pieces on the go, in their hands, and that's the market we're in. That's a very strongly growing trend. And there are quite a few demographic criteria that help support that trend. Single households increasing commuting. And if you look at the lower chart, is 2003, we had 27% of our sales, which we considered were out-of-home products. Basically, that was Coca-Cola and coffee, the little we sold at the time. Now we define it at 75%. And although you could argue whether a croissant is really something to be eaten at home, I'd say with the view of today, we're probably even higher in this respect. Up to 2010, this was the concept, discount bakery, price leadership. If you ever thought this is a cheap product offering, well, yes, it was. It was meant to be aggressive in the pricing strategy, to use some nicer terminology. We did quite a bit of transition. The vegan assortment sold marvelously well, helped us a lot to build a better reputation. And we're accelerating this pace of change in the feel-good food with really cool products. And we're still not there. We're still in the midst of developing new and cooler products. And the good thing about the concept is we're so broad. We're not narrowed down to anything. We can change. One example, juices. You can bottle juices and sell bottled juice, and you can buy that everywhere. What's really cool is, and if you go along and want to buy a juice, you'd like it to be freshly squeezed. We just installed in, I believe it's 10 stores by now. It's a tray like this. You put some fruit in front to convey the message. And you simply squeeze them there, fresh. And the fresh fruits from the day before are the ones to be squeezed the next day. And we sell enormous amounts of these juices. It just fits right on. It's something healthy. It's new. It's cool. And it's something our concept can incorporate. So it's a flexible basis. To state the truth, we still have to work on these things. We have to become cooler and cooler and cooler because the competition, unfortunately, is not sleeping. But we do have the chances. We understand we need to do it. And we're working on it. Because you cannot see that at Winterthur, I thought I'd bring you two pictures. to the right, for example, that's a wooden floor. It's green, a green wall, green tiles. You might not have expected that in a Backwerk. That's in a very impoverished area in Germany, the northern Ruhrgebiet. It's a store we moved two stores further and made it a real nice store. We nearly doubled sales in an impoverished area. And talking about proof of concept, I said, if we succeed in Gladbeck, and this is as dark as Western Germany gets, we can be successful anywhere. And I could bring you some more examples of this, but this is precisely the idea of where the company is going. And this is what I'd like you to take with you home. This is the idea where we're going. This is how it looks like. And it feels good. It really does. A few pictures to sum this up, to give you the right idea, because Tobias Knecht will talk about numbers and figures and stuff. I'm in the business of trying to sell products, trying to make it a cool concept customers want to go into, want to buy. You saw the movie, Sowohl als auch, on the one hand, on the other. We still sell, you know, it's meat, not very healthy, very tasty though. At a reasonably aggressive price positioning, but you know, these days it's €2. It's not like 149, what it would have used to be a year or 2 years ago. And it's still a good deal for €2. Das Beste, the best. And it says, if you read the little lines, it says your hands are the best cutlery. You know, take it in your hands, eat it on the go. Coffee, our prime product, very, really very successful with it. And handgemacht, made by hand. If you read the subtitles, you'll see it's made for your hand with love. That's how we convey the story. That's how we convey the message. This is how flexible the platform is. And I'm happy and I'm proud that this company, my company, if I may say so, has found a good home. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Karl, and I hope you see now why we are so enthusiastic about this acquisition, specifically at the crispy chicken, even though it's probably not the healthiest option at the Backwerk. It's a super delicious option. I can strongly recommend that. So in terms of wrap up, most importantly, we acquired a business that changed our food service division. We will become the number one in the snacking business in Germany. We acquire a lot of capabilities that are supporting the development also of the rest of the network. We have a tremendous potential to create soft and hard synergies through that acquisition that will further enhance our growth and margin profiles. And most importantly, we also can welcome a new management team to Valora, a new team in Essen that will stay in Essen, where Backwerk is headquartered, and will be continues to be led by Karl Braukmann and Vera Weiss, the CFO. Karl will help us, support us to learn more about their journey, what helped them to become successful. And to me, that's probably one of the best news here today, that we did not only acquire a network and a concept, but new friends. And in that regard, welcome to the family, Karl, and your team. Thank you very much.
So I'm happy to welcome you to the second part of the Investors Day. We will have in a second part, I will talk to you a little bit more in detail about the details of the expansion of our production capacity. Tobias will walk you through the financing and guidance part. And at the end, I think we will have a longer Q&A session. So the pretzel market, we have heard it from Karl. The out-of-home market is growing and we have a very strong momentum. What we see here is the pretzel market. So the pretzel consumption, we have it here in Germany and in the US. Interestingly enough, these two markets are exactly the same size in terms of volumes. Meaning in Germany, in average, every person eats, to make it more practical, 2 kilograms of pretzels a year. My average is far higher, and I hope yours too, but in average, it's 2 kilograms. Down in Bavaria, it will go up to 10 kilograms. Up in North, it will be slightly below the 2 kilograms. Certainly, part of this growth also comes from the regional expansion of the pretzel also in Germany. In the US, on the other side, 320 million people, the average consumption of pretzel is roughly about 0.5 kilogram. But in both markets, the out-of-home was growing on a yearly growth rate of roughly 3.5%. You see here that the US has only an in-home consumption. So the pretzel that is been eating at home and not on the go of only 11%. And you also see the clear trend in Germany, the decreasing portion of the in-home consumption. We put on these two slides because it kind of relates later on to our investment in the US market, because for us, it is the second largest pretzel market worldwide. Of course, Switzerland is also a very interesting market. I think we have a very high penetration with our Pretzelkönig shops in Switzerland. Also, the Austrian market is very interesting, but it's kind of limited by the size of the inhabitants. When we look forward, I mean, we see the strong momentum in the past, and I totally agree to Karl, we have absolutely no reason to believe that this trend will not go on. Even more, we think it's going to be accelerated. And it's important to mention that in the ditch, in the B2B business, our core market is the out-of-home market. So our customer base is serving the out-of-home market. We're basically not active in the in-home market. So you basically don't find our products, ditch products, in the freezer cabinet of large retailers. This is not our core business. So predominantly our business is in the out-of-home. in Germany, in Switzerland, in Austria, and in the export business. We see for Ditch and the B2B a positive market outlook. We expect that the volume, this is not value, this is the volume. So in pieces, we see definitely that we will be growing on a 5 to 7% yearly basis on the volumes. The pretzel category in the DACH region, so Germany, Austria, Switzerland, is an absolutely well-established product category. You will find pretzels everywhere, but still, it's only about 3 to 4% of the total bakery basket. In the export market, and we define export all the region outside of Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, the pretzel is growing. We see it everywhere. In the UK, I just talked to someone from London, so we have the pretzels growing in the UK. We sell to retailers, to Tesco, etc. But still, it's a niche, but it's a very growing niche. If you're flying international on the flights, you will find pretzels everywhere in the baskets. So it's an absolutely growing niche in the export market. Now, when we look at Ditch, what happened to our sales? We looked at the market data. Again, it grew 3.5 only in the out-of-home. When we look at our numbers, we grew in the B2B business on a 13% annual growth rate since 2012 to 2016. That's a very strong growth in this area. And if you break it down, we were growing at 12% in the DACH region. So again, Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, where we are active with our own sales force. So in all of these markets, we have key accounters, key account managers, salespersons who do the sales. In the export market, in which we have grown 26% on an annual basis, we work with exclusive distributors. Today, the export market makes up about 16% of our sales already. And I will come later. This was certainly the point because we're seeing a strong growth in the US market. That was the decision to go overseas and stop exporting from Germany into the US, but investing on US mainland and to have the production on site. Very important here is our resilient client base. I think it's something we're very proud of. And if you would look at large industrial bakeries, and we are a large industrial bakery, on that hand side, the portfolio would look very much differently. I think that's the result of our own sales force. We have 12 people in Germany, one in Switzerland, one also. So 14 people of exclusive sales force who is able to produce such a client portfolio where the top 10 only make 51% on the revenue. And I can guarantee to you that the profit will not look much different than this. So we have a very good profit pool out of the both sides. And we're very proud out of this long tail of customers because they make our portfolio very resilient. So with our sales force, we're able to deliver the small local bakery somewhere in the NRW, in Gladbeck. Yes, we're able to deliver him with our products and we're very proud of it. So after such a strong growth, again, 13% of value growth in the last 4 years. We only had last year, we had an investors day last year, last November in Oranienbaum, where we showed our production facility. At that point, we were announcing the replacement of line number 2. We were on time, on budget. The replacement of the line was going live in July. And the new warehouse was going live 4 weeks ago. So we were absolutely in plan with this. But our capacity is coming to an end. I think we're at the point we're limiting our potential by not increasing our capacity. That's why we have done a vast detailed analysis on the pretzel market, as we just showed you some highlights. And we come to the conclusion and we feel absolutely confident enough that our investment of roughly 50 million euros in the next 2 years will have an absolutely significant impact on our return on capital employed. Of course, we have a ramp-up phase with all of the industrial lines, but after the ramp-up phase, it will kick in to our ROCE. So the 50 million, we have kind of two areas. Let me first start off with the US. few words. So Cincinnati, we're in Cincinnati based, Ohio. It's a fantastic place to be in. I mean, you have a lot of Mueller's, Hofmeister's, Gottenbusch's. So it's a very German driven community around Cincinnati, Ohio. Certainly is above average pretzel consumption. They have even Oktoberfests. Well, okay. You have Oktoberfest all over, but you have a very big one in Cincinnati. So we're very happy with the acquisition. As Michael mentioned, the team feels really good. They're extremely motivated, and especially they're not only motivated, they're very capable. Gary Gottenbusch, German heritage, he really knows how to do the pretzels. He's a pretzel maniac. I think we already scaled up the team, added up now the financial capabilities. So very happy how the business is doing. We're absolutely within the expectations, what we guided on that business. And now we feel confident enough to invest in this business because, again, it's the second largest pretzel market in the world. And we want to have this, the same significant market share in the US as we have in Europe. It will take time, but I'm very sure we will get there. So our investment will be the existing line. We acquired a production building which fitted 3 to 4 lines. So we will increase the capacity of our existing line because it will be full already by end of this year. We will add on a second line, so a highly industrial line, and it certainly will be the most sophisticated pretzel line the US has seen so far. So it's a complete replicate of what we have in Germany. And I think although the technique is available, it's not only machines, it's the know-how that make the product. So at the end, we expect that this is investment. We should have a going live of the new line in Q2 2019. That might seem a long time, but again, we talk here about significant piece of engineering. We have suppliers that also have lead time to manufacture these lines. The second area of investment is Oranienbaum, our main plant, just an hour of Berlin. I think that's where we held the investors day last year in November. Here, we're full. You see here the building. We have 8 mono lines, so 8 industrial lines, and we're just simply don't have the space to put in a new line. This is why we're at the moment now that we need a new production hall. We bought last year here on that side the grounds, so everything is free, without trees, without animals. So now we're ready to start on to build the new production building. In the first stage, we'll build a production building that fits 2 lines, but we will only start off with 1 line, and of course we'll also increase our warehouse, deep frozen warehouse capacity. Also, this project we already started, it will have an expecting going live on Q2. And again, I feel pretty confident about these dates, and also feel pretty confident about the investment. We have the know-how. We know how to do large projects. We have proven it on several projects. So I think this was the more details on the capacity increase. I would now hand over to Tobias to walk you through the financing and guidance part.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Good financing and guidance, or like Carl put it, financial figures and stuff. Thanks, Carl. We'll talk about finance later on. So my team and I will have quite something to do. Not that we've been bored over the last couple of months with that acquisition. But if you look on the left-hand side, that's a bit what is ahead of us in terms of financing. We have, of course, the acquisition to finance, roughly 200 million euros, 210 million Swiss francs. We have the hybrid bond that becomes due in October next year. It's an evergreen, so, you know, we could go on forever, but it's a 4% coupon at that stage, and with a ramp, with a step up by another 5% in October last year. So, no, personally, I think not too attractive in that environment. And we have a 2.5% straight bond, which becomes due in March of next year. So roughly $500 million to be financed. And of course, we've got the additional capacity, the wish list of Thomas, which we're happy to fulfill, of course, with the which we'll finance with the free cash flow and available lines as well. But $500 million in hard currency to be financed. think the first thing to mention is the acquisition is financed and is totally independent of everything, which I'll show on the next pages. We have a 200 million syndicated loan, credit, revolving credit facility, which is undrawn at that moment, and to which with the liquidity that we're having will be used to finance that acquisition. But always, like it is the case with revolving credit facility, it's not the most attractive. So we'll, of course, want to replace that with normal lines. The first point, the acquisition in terms of financing is absolutely safe. Second point is we, of course, want to take advantage of the attractive financial markets that we're having at that stage and further lower, like we already did over the last couple of years, further lower the financial burden, financial interest that we're paying, and therefore have a positive effect on our EPS. Third point, we like that acquisition, but we have still some ideas internally, externally, and therefore we want to maintain financial and strategic flexibility. And therefore our goal is to maintain, also in terms of attractive financing conditions, we want to maintain an EBITDA leverage ratio, which is below 2.5 times the EBITDA. And at the end of the day, of course, we want to have an attractive set of maturities, investors, instrument, etc. So $500 million to refinance. Acquisition is safe, but needs to be refinanced over time. How do we want to do that? How do we plan to finance and refinance all that? That's what I'm showing you on that page on the left-hand side. Starting on the middle, we will use a couple of classical instruments. We'll, of course, want to finance in euros. Quite a bit more. We have with Backwerk a euro-based company predominantly, even though the growth in Switzerland will be tremendous, as Carl promised. Nevertheless, it is euro-based, and therefore we want to take advantage and finance more in terms of hedging as well in euros. Roughly 100 million euros is what is planned here. That probably will be one of the first steps. And, you know, that could be, again, like we already did in the past, a bonded loan and Schuldschein Darlehen or any other instrument. The second debt instrument that we're planning to do is probably a classical bond in order to have, again, the Swiss franc component bonds being very attractive at that stage. We envisage something in the order of magnitude of 200 million. If we realize these two steps, you see on the right-hand side what our profile will look like at the end of 2018. And I think, you know, it is a very sound profile that we're having. It's well staggered over the years with only a very limited amount becoming due in 2019. The first part of the old Schuldschein Darlehen, 78 million euros. Then in 20, it's the CFA, which becomes due largely, but at that moment unused, and by that probably as well, not used too much. Then second Schuldschein Darlehen and all the rest of the new facilities will come later than that. And therefore, I think we will have a very well staggered profile in terms of maturities, instruments, currencies, and investors. Now, this 310 million roughly does not yet add up to the 500 million. And especially if I add that up, you know, we could finance that with that. However, that would take away the financial flexibility. So after intense discussion internally, we said we'll comply with what we said always in the past, having a very high dividend yield. We always said, you know, we will not shy away to come back to our investors if we find the gem, the pearl that we're looking for. If we have a good investor, we'll ask for capital. And that's exactly what we plan to do. We plan to make a rights issue at the end of this year of around about 150 million. And for this, we'll ask for a extraordinary general meeting probably in November of this year. My team is very hard already working towards that right issue with all the preparation, and we'll send out the invitation in due time. Last point on that page is we still have liquidity reserves with the more or less unused syndicated loan at the end of the day. with the liquidity and the CFA, you know, to add up to the 500 million, there will be a part of it used. But compared to the 200 million, that still allows for a high level of flexibility. So what does that all mean for us, for you as shareholders and analysts? Starting with the EBIT guidance. I think the first question is, what are we planning to do? What is Carl planning to do with the company? Third bullet in the first bracket here, acquisition is based on our plan to double the EBITA of Backwork within the next 5 years, so by 2022. The drivers for that, I think Carl mentioned, is of course store expansion. We plan to open between 80 and 100 stores within these 5 years. We want to continue with that feel-good food, which should allow for a higher capture rate, footfall, but as well a higher average coupon by customer. And finally, with the organization that Carl has in place and as well ourselves, we think we have a high level of operational leverage. Therefore, a higher percentage of the revenues and gross profit flowing through to the bottom line. That's a medium-term plan for this. Short term, what does it mean for 2017? We stick to our guidance that we already issued beginning of this year, an EBIT of 79 million plus minus 3 million. And even though we'll consolidate Backwork probably sometimes in October, it will not massively affect positively or negatively the EBIT of this year, as the contribution they will have from October to December is roughly compensated by the project cost we're having for the acquisition of Backwork. Already coming to an end, summing it up, the impact for the shareholders, I think I can only reiterate what Franz, Michael, Karl said. I think we have an excellent new family member here with the acquisition of Backwork. It's a strategically important step for us. It positions us totally different. And if I talk more about financial figures and stuff, I think it is a great margin improvement potential that we're having here. It improves our margin. We'll show you that the 4% EBIT margin was not based on that. We'll achieve that also without Backwork, but of course that will bring us clearly beyond that. It positions us as the number one snack provider with all the leverage and synergies, etc., that it will bring. And despite the equity increase that we're planning for this year, it will be EPS accretive as of 2019. And to preempt the question, why is it not already next year? There's a simple reason for that. We have the hybrid bond, which only becomes due at the end of next year. So, you know, over that that year, we'll pay like twice, but we think it's the right moment to do so and to have shareholders participate in the future of the company. And with this, I'd like to hand over for the closing remarks to Michael. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tobias. So closing remarks, I think most important part is now the Q&A. So we allocated sufficient time for you, all of you, to ask your question. I thank very much my colleagues, Thomas Eisele, Tobias Knechtle, and obviously Karl Braukmann, to present this important step in the Valora history. And at the very end, Franz Jühlen will address you with his final remark. But before that, I would suggest that we enter in a Q&A. There are microphones available with Alessandra. And Loris. So who has the first question?
First one is on Backwork again. So we asked some questions yesterday already, but one question which is still not clear to me. So you have 200 million sales, you have 55 which you can consolidate. As I understand, the franchise fee is 5.5%. Could you tell us a little breakdown of these 55 million and what are the drivers in there? Of course, if sales go up, franchise fees go up, but as I understand, there are also rents in there. And then your second question now on the rents. If you have this agreement with the landlords, does the franchisee exactly pay the same, or is also part of the business that you get profits out of the rent situation?
Do you want to start?
Good. As for the split, I mean, you laid it out as much as we can answer at that stage. Indeed, the 55 million is on one side, the franchise fee, which is give and take in the order of magnitude that you mentioned, partially higher. The second large component is indeed the rent, and that makes a big part of that. Otherwise, you know, you will would have even more than the 26% flowing through to the bottom line. On top of that, it's the rebates, the kickbacks, the official kickbacks that we receive from our suppliers. And if you add all that up, it adds up to the 55 million.
But therefore, the rents are a fixed component for you or for the franchisee, or yes. Does it increase as well every year in terms of sales? So it's more like a concession fee they have to pay in terms of rents, or is it fixed rent?
No, it is mostly fixed. I mean, there again, I think it depends a lot as well on the location that you're having. And as you've seen, they're much less in the traffic areas in the railways where it is typical to have that development. So it's much more fixed. There are certain components which are variable as well, but it's never in the order of magnitude that we're seeing, for example, on the retail side in Switzerland, etc.
Maybe addressing the second part of your question, whether it's part of the business model to generate additional profit based on the sublease we charge. And there are always exceptions. In general, we pass through the rent to the franchisee. Exceptions are if Backwerk, the expansion team at Backwerk, managed to get an exceptionally well negotiated contract, that would not be justified to pass on one-to-one to a franchisee. In such a situation, it is considered to ultimately charge a market rent. There are other elements linked rather to the investment attached to certain store locations that typically sit with the franchisees. But again, there are a couple of exceptions in the way you potentially paid, for example, a key money for a certain location where you would then again capitalize on this type of investment and pass the rent through.
Well, sometimes we manage to charge a markup, quite frankly. And whenever we do, the franchisee is aware of it. So he sees our original contract and he sees what he's paying to us. So in that sense, yes, there is a profit margin included in that. Just as Michael said, many times we cannot. It's a case by case decision we take.
Felix.
Yes, two questions, if I may. Can you give us any indication how profitable it is for a franchisee to run a Backwerk? Any, you know, across the over 300 POs you have. And secondly, it seems to be that you're on the start of a rollout of a new format or like a refresh branding. Have you any indication on how, you know, that rebranding is impacting the same store sales of the already rebranded stores?
So maybe on the first part of your question, how profitable it is, I explained earlier that as part of the due diligence process, what we have done is not only to assess the profitability of the franchisor, but we actually assessed, and this was a quite painful process, not only for us, but also for Carl and his team, the profitability of each and every store. So on the franchisee side, because ultimately the success of a franchise model is pretty much defined by the success a franchisee has, right? Given that the development and the growth in the network, aside all the awards that the network has won, it seems like it is a very profitable model for franchisees and attractive. But there's one important element to understand. It is not an investment franchisee system, right? Like you probably know from the Burger King's, McDonald's alike, where you typically have a person investing in such a store and hand over the operations to a team that runs the store, right? So it's rather like an investment for to hold such a store, but you're not very much involved with the operations. Whereas here, the actual entrepreneur who's running the store is actually investing in the store. So he puts his own effort, time into the store. And what he generates on the back of the capital he invests is a combination of what he could generate as a salary at the similar in a similar role where he's not investment, plus a markup or a profit on the capital he invests. When we look at the network, it's pretty much comparable to what we see in comparable formats. It's slightly higher than what we see in our own network. First of all, because our franchisees are not investing the capital, definitely not in the agency model, but also not in the franchise model. So the Backwerk franchisees generate a slightly higher profit to compensate them for the capital investment. But all in all, ultimately, the success and the financial benefit a franchisee generates for himself depends very much on his own entrepreneurial capabilities and operational capabilities in the store, and he can make there quite a difference. And I think it's fair to say, Carl, that also within Backwerk, you have quite obviously a couple of franchisees which are doing slightly better than others, be it driven by the location they operate, but be it also based on their operational capabilities, how well they run a store, and personnel costs being one of the most important drivers that you can influence on the cost side, quite obviously how much of their own effort and time they allocate to the store. Fair to say, please?
Absolutely. If I may add something, if you were to apply for a franchise license, which I hope you'd be interested in, is we normally say you'll make at least 10% on external sales, with the real figures being a little higher than that.
Maybe you could give us an estimate how much of sales of a Backwerk store will be generated in future by products of Valora Group, so bretzel or coffee or okay products. What could here be a rough estimate? And a second question to Carl Brauchmann: do you have intention to buy Valora shares, or do you even already own Valora shares?
Thank you for the second part of your question, Carl. Well,
until now, they told me it's strictly forbidden for me to buy Valora shares. I would have liked to very much so now. Yes.
So maybe on the first part of your question, we don't have a precise number that we can share with you today. I think going back what I said earlier, with having all the spectacular cups behind me, Carl said quite clearly one of the leading coffee suppliers back about Backwerk on a standalone basis in Germany. Now, in the combination of Valora and Backwerk, we pretty much double up over the whole network in terms of numbers of cups we're selling, the coffee output of the group. I said earlier, without being too specific, we think we're one of the leading coffee suppliers in German-speaking Europe. And one of the first emails I received yesterday to congratulate to the transaction was actually by the CEO of Franke. So it's not only the people who sell the coffee to us, but actually also people who sell machines are quite interested to engage now with us. We are already working very successfully with Franke on the rollout of the Spectacolo here in the Swiss market. Backwerk operates at least so far the WMF machines. So, I mean, this describes a little bit how far it can go. Now, in terms of the products that are the most obvious, it's the pretzels. Not sure how many pretzel sales. We never shared that, I think, the number. so pretty interesting amount. You see, Thomas is very, and rightly so, not very outspoken about the details because it is a competitive market. We don't want to share too much information with some of our competitors, but it is substantial because the pretzel, they just have been running, I think, for 3 months or 2 months, a promotion on pretzels across Germany. And it's also fair to say there are many locations where the Backwerk is very close or even next to a ditch in Germany. And when the Backwerk was selling these discounted pretzels to attract additional customers from ditch, actually Thomas felt it quite well in the network. So you can assume there is quite a potential also in terms of segmenting and separate the different products and ultimately selling a lot of product through that channel. And this, in retrospect, is maybe even a fortunate situation that so far we as Ditch failed to sell pretzels to Ditch. So that's an additional potential we have now in the transaction. If it comes to OK Energy Drink, I think the latest number we have given is 8 million cans.
No, it was 6 million we gave as last official
so
figure.
I didn't say that. in our network, so you can assume Switzerland is over 30 million cans. So, I mean, Germany would be a huge opportunity for us. Now, with our network selling 6 million cans, potentially a little more than that. Now, having Backwerk on board, obviously, I mean, we can substantially increase that number. But I think most importantly, it's not only about pushing our own products in that channel, but it's making sure that we have the right product for that channel. And we just launched a couple of new healthy, okay drinks in Germany. There we can benefit from what Cole explained in terms of know-how about food development. So to adapt these products using larger scales to manufacture these products and then hand it over to the Backwerk channel and also use it in our other convenience stores. So I hope that answers your question without being too specific in terms of the volumes. Yes, please.
Thank you. I have three questions. The first is regarding the earnout for the management. Why haven't you done or given them an earnout to keep the guys on board for a couple of years? The second question is regarding this rent scheme. Could you give us more insight about the duration of the rents and if they are put options? And how much are the fixed asset investments the franchisee have to do on average? And the last point is, do I get it right? You have firepower is zero till the end of next year, or are you willing to increase your net debt EBITDA if you see an opportunity somewhere else?
So maybe I comment on the first question regarding earnout. So we said we acquired 100% of the shares from EQT and other minority shareholders. The other minority shareholders are predominantly the founders who have been active over the last year since the acquisition in from EQT only on a board level. So they have not been actively involved in the day-to-day operations of the business anymore. So it was Carl Baugmann who was the person who ran and developed Backwerk for EQT and will continue to do so with Valora. So even though Carl had a couple of shares, I mean, it was not the main incentive we can provide him to structure earnout around that part or as part of the transaction. But Carl will enter into our own Valora compensation and incentive schemes. And ultimately, in my regard, far more important than the money attached to these things is the passion you have seen and the match we see in the businesses that we are passionate to welcome Backwerk to the family. And you heard Carl saying that also the Backwerk sees a perfect fit in the combination of the two organizations. In terms of the second and third question, I would hand over to Tobias.
Well, in terms of rent scheme, without going into too much detail, but you can assume it's a classical stuff that we're having as well. So it's relatively the same maturity. It's as well the classical, depending, 5 plus 5. So with the option to elaborate, and therefore or it gives a relatively similar average to what we're having all in all. In terms of fixed assets investments, maybe I'll hand over for Carl for the detail, if you want to answer how much.
Yes, I may. Of course, that varies greatly depending on the size of the store.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, we're talking not a theoretical sum somebody's charging, but we're talking about tiles and floors and windows and stuff. So an average or a typical store would be around 280K. Of which 140 would be materials to be transported, like the presentation where the merchandise is presented, the ovens and the deep freezer and stuff. That generally within Backwerk system will be financed by a leasing agreement. So it's about 140, 150K as a typical figure in money that has to be put up. Mostly, franchisees finance that with an average equity of something like 60, 70K. And if you take the rest from a bank, mostly plus some extra for a startup cost and building of inventory. So an average bank loan would be around 100K. Does that answer the question? And I was very delighted by you mentioning my financial compensation, because I will pick that up with Michael when we discuss that next time.
So on the last question, maybe to change topic now, the firepower. We start with the right issue to complement it with one of the instruments. And with that, we actually bring the leverage ratio by the end of this year, if all goes well, to a level which gives us very great flexibility. And actually, by with the measures that we're planning always ahead of the refinancing, we'll keep enough financial flexibility, strategic flexibility, whatever might come up, but also with the eye of securing a leverage ratio, which is also considered by our credit analysts and the credit markets attractive in order to secure financing terms which are good for Valora in the medium term.
If I may add on the rent side, actually, just as an additional remark, when we looked at the business, and I mentioned that earlier, we saw the opportunity to grow inner city locations, because obviously one of the questions that came up was how would Deutsche Bahn respond to such a transaction? And I can assure you, I mean, two things. First of all, the exposure to Deutsche Bahn of Backwerk is lower than what we have in the network, being one of the most important tenants at Deutsche Bahn, because they are able to operate other locations. Driven by that, they have even a slightly better rent profile than what we have, because you have more flexibility typically with inner city location landlords. than what you have with a professional landlord like Deutsche Bahn. And secondly, quite obviously, Carl and myself, we talked to Deutsche Bahn over the last couple of days, and Deutsche Bahn is very supportive. Supportive in a sense that they see the perfect match as well. And on that basis, I'm very comfortable that it only helps us to strengthen, ultimately, the relationship even going forward. We developed over the last 5 years a very strong relationship, also after the acquisition of Ditch, where we had, to be fair, same concern because we were already a substantial tenant without Ditch. Then we acquired Ditch. We went through the same process, and we were able to strengthen that relationship very much so with Deutsche Bahn. But to be fair, it's a very professional landlord, and therefore the contracts are more competitive than you probably see with smaller, more diverse landlords in inner city locations where Bakwerk is operating more stores and therefore ending up with a slightly better rent profile than what we actually have across the group.
Yeah, please.
A question on regulatory approvals. In Germany, it's still outstanding, and I wonder what is the time frame for that? And do you expect any conditions, seeing that you're now becoming number one in the convenience food market? Is that an issue? And impact of operating leases of the combined entity since they're coming on balance sheet soon?
Yeah. Yes. So maybe for the last question, I hand over to Tobias. But in terms of the Bundeskartellamt approval, we don't expect any conditions. And we expect the approval within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. And in terms of leases, absolutely right. I mean, that is also one of the reasons why we stay, in our view, relatively conservative in terms of leverage ratio, knowing very well that the leases, you know, you anyway put on top, and with IFRS 16, they will be on the balance sheet as of 2019. So absolutely true. However, that is part of the concept, is also part of the strength to have that that stronghold on the leases, and therefore, you know, the downside in Aspen to have it on the balance sheet, I think, is overcompensated by the fact to have the control.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a question on the supplier side this time. If I've understood correctly, you don't have any production facilities at Bakwerk. How concentrated are your suppliers there? And are you involved in product development with them? And how can you ensure quality if everything gets delivered directly from them? And also, do you still cook actually something in the shops, or do you prepare something in the shops? And the second question is more of a dry financial stuff question.
That's
you, you enjoy quite a good margins in this Bakwerk business, and you've been under private equity ownership before. Is that margin sustainable in the future?
So that's not a dry question at all on the financials, I must
that's
say.
That's a core.
Well, maybe starting with the first question on supplier. I think first of all, I think you flip now to the chart. So where we show that a lot of the value creation is moved more and more into the store, right? So we have a lot of products that are prepared in store, like the sandwiches, a couple of other products, also warm products. Important part there is that you have a well-defined process. So it's not like cooking in the store. It's rather running through a well-defined process where you have certain products ready to be used, delivered to the store, and you combine it with the bread that you bake off in the store. It's always, I think, also important to maintain a fair balance between moving more value creation in the store, where you attach obviously labor costs to that value creation, and working with supplier on solutions where you move or shift value creation to suppliers, right? The more you prepare in store, the more flexibility you are, the more unique you are. And that's exactly the debate Carl and I had during the due diligence. So what's the right point of equilibrium between these two elements? And I think there is no one single right answer to that. But the important part is you need to have a process in the store that is efficient and effective. And that's something where Backwerk is supporting very much the franchisees to develop these capabilities and further develop the capabilities to add products to the portfolio without adding a lot of labor costs. And I think there it's very comparable to other QSRs or quick service restaurant concepts, you know. In terms of who are the suppliers, we are not very outspoken, as we are for the rest of the business, who the suppliers are. You can assume there's a lot of coffee, there's a lot of bread in these stores, so we don't buy from the local roaster and we don't buy from the local bakery, so these are larger suppliers. In terms of product development, I think I answered the question. Quite frankly, if you operate this a concept like this, you become very important for your supplier. You enter into a partnership with suppliers, which is long-term. You mentioned, and I come to the second part of the question, private equity ownership and what it can do to the business. I was quite impressed when we went through supplier agreements, and I can assure you, we went through in the highest level of details through all these supplier agreements. We were quite impressed. You agree with that, Carl? we were quite impressed to see it was actually, even though there was a financial sponsor, private equity, the owner, they maintained this founder-based, long-term view on the business. So when they enter into partnership with suppliers, it was always of a long-term nature. You can always optimize. So there was no auction for that business, but let's assume you expect to sell the business. I mean, the easiest thing is you call up a couple of suppliers and tell them, listen, I need something extra that this year because I have to make my P&L look better, right? You can always do that, right? They haven't done this. We would anyway would have found out if they would have done so. But it's a long-term nature. And as part of that long-term partnership, also product development come into play. And as I mentioned, just randomly, Franke, and the CEO, contacted me quite obviously also with suppliers of equipment. We have a quite a strong relationship. So what we have done with Spectacolo here in Switzerland, this was not only a question of buying a bag of coffee beans and then basically putting up a machine, delivering it to the store, but it was actually Michel Gruber sitting up there, our CEO of the food service business in Switzerland, working quite intensively with the manufacturers to understand what's the right concept, right configuration, what's the right maintenance cycle for these pieces of equipment. And also there, Backwerk is working quite closely with the several suppliers. But most importantly, there is no dependency on one supplier. So we're not fully dependent, but rather, and the way we looked at it, they're world champions in sourcing. So they played it very well to always maintain a competition for each and every product or for each and every logistical service between the different suppliers in the market. Now, coming to your EQT question or private equity general question, Did they not just squeeze the last drop out of this lemon? It's now difficult how I should answer this question. Either Carl defended the business and the team very well, or the EQT team was very weak or very unusual in the way they approached the situation. Seriously, what we saw and what's defining value in such a business is top-line development. So when you try to sell or to dress the bride of a franchise system, the way you have to, what you have to prove is top-line development, store growth, and international expansion. And I think Carl said that in his presentation, this was actually one of the main building blocks that EQT added, where the founders were much more reluctant to invest in that expansion, international expansion specifically. So that's what EQT added. So the focus was mainly on growing and managing the transformation than rather managing headquarter costs. So we have been yesterday at the headquarter and we addressed the team, the new family member of Valora, and they looked all happy and not squeezed at all, I must say. But maybe you can add to that, Carl.
Well, I'd like to add, and as happy as I am now being a member of Valora family, it would be highly unfair and incorrect if I said anything negative about the time with EQT. Whatever you hear or read about private equity, I heard a lot, I read a lot, I talked to many people. I know there are very many very bad examples. EQT was a good owner. It was a good owner for Buckbeck, and I clearly say this, and I say I was, at the time, I was proud to be within their investment, and I wouldn't know what they did wrong. Just quick adding to what Michael just explained, dependency and sustainability of the relationship with the suppliers. We are definitely not dependent on anyone. At the same time, consistency and long-term is worth something. And do we include them in product development? Yes, we still do, but the focus has shifted. 5 years ago, we would have gone to a supplier, or they would have come to us and saying, well, we have this product, don't you want to sell it? And that has changed. The focus has changed. These days, we approach them, and we're saying, well, we're looking for something in that area with these kind of ingredients for that kind of price, it shall be sold. Can you make us something? So we're still, basically, we're working with the same companies, but the way we work with them has changed tremendously.
So thank you for that question. As you heard, this was pretty much driving our discussions quite often.
Yes, international expansion. Austria is an example as well, maybe. I saw that you entered the market relatively early, and now you're at 21 stores, so that's not the same speed as in Holland currently, where you had 8 or 10 per year. That would be one question, what's going on there in Austria. And then on the CapEx, yes, your business model is asset light. However, how much CapEx is needed on your side to open the targeted 80 to 100 shops? And what's the timing overall there?
So you want to maybe take the first one?
Yeah, I'll take the first with Austria. You're right. 21 doesn't sound all that great. I admit that. First of all, Austria is slightly smaller than the Netherlands. But then we had a change in the local management last year. I had to replace the long-standing managing director. I found an excellent new person. We've closed two, three not-so-well-running stores. Right now, we've changed a lot and attuned the system to the market much better. We now just signed several first-class locations, and we're in the process of signing a few more. So I expect our growth speed to increase significantly. However, impossible to grow as fast as we can grow in the Netherlands. For that, you have to take into account that the market is significantly smaller.
And that's basically what we are experiencing with Brezel König as well. So predominantly Austria is Vienna. What I liked a lot about our first discussion when we met the new managing director of the Backwerk business in Austria, that he was very enthusiastic about pretzels and the Bretzelkönig concept. So we see a lot of potential there, because in order to be successful in Vienna, you have to be born and raised and embedded in this Vienna society, and we have not been so far. He could be the key to success also for Bretzelkönig, not only where we operate rail locations, where we just recently opened at Westbahnhof, a very successful location, and more to come at rail and airports, but in inner city locations also for Bretzelkönig.
I think that's, you know, in the side sentence, a very relevant information that Michael conveyed. Prior to signing, we met the entire second level management. I think one of the good things that Carl did is assemble a team which is very strong also on the second level. So, you know, with that confidence, especially as well on the Austrian and Dutch side, we're confident about the figures just mentioned. As for the CapEx, it is and stays a very asset-light level. So basically, in store development or store rollout, there's no CapEx whatsoever on our side. You have very small CapExes, more for the infrastructure, maybe for some limited showcase stores that you're having, but that stays on a very limited level. What you have, however, if you want to achieve that growth, is you have, of course, a cost base which is following, but we've written down that one of the attraction is actually the operational leverage. So the cost evolution should clearly be under proportional to the top line evolution.
And if you listen to Carl carefully, he mentioned that the founders were managing the business for cash, and they were maintaining very much that culture. I think I don't see there a big problem that we have to change there anything in their way of approaching the business. Any other questions? Yeah, Marco. Oh, content. Danke.
Just a quick one. Is there a seasonality in this business in terms of sales and profit?
Very light. A basic rule of thumb is the warmer it gets, the less people eat. But that is a small percentage. You cannot compare to normal retail where, you know, 50% of yearly sales are done in December or anything of that order. It's basically a very stable business throughout the year.
So it's comparable to what we see.
Yeah.
Sorry, at our pretzel formats. And so I hope we're going to introduce more beverages to hedge a little bit the food side, because that's what we do successfully over the group. We haven't discussed that, but since you have seen all the big the beverage assortment here in our convenience stores, that's obviously a perfect hedge for that. When we sell less pretzels, we sell more beverages typically. Good. Any more questions? Yes, please.
You highlighted the 13% growth in pretzel B2B. How much of that was pricing? How much of that is volumes? And the same question actually for Backwerk. How much of the growth was price increase, and how much of that was just volumes? Maybe.
I think, and Thomas, you can then answer the question on the B2B side. I think in Backwerk, I think the most important thing to understand in the concept is that transformation, moving from a roll to a sandwich, right? So a filled roll, basically, with proteins and other ingredients. This is obviously very much changing ticket size and margin on such a ticket, right? So you have to explain that or understand that part of the journey. And I think Carl gave this indication, which, as also Carl said, in our view, is understated, because croissants are part of the 25 or even plain pretzels are part of the 25. And our experience is our plain pretzels are not carried home to eat, but actually they're eaten on the road and on the streets. So this is very much driving. So it's less like-for-like price increases. Actually, on the coffee side, that's probably the most transparent part. As you know, we have discussed this in the past. You have no idea how competitive coffee is priced in Germany. That has to change, and it will change, I'm quite sure. And that's obviously on the basis of being one of the largest supplier of coffee, one of the big upside levers we would have in terms of pricing and increasing margins. And on the first part of the question, I would hand over to Thomas.
Regarding the 13%, which was priced. So you have to see the 13% is the total output. So we also sell like pizza snacks, very much more dependent on not only on flour, but also on butter and also on cheese. This year was a bad year for cheese. But if you look back, so you could say about 13%, about 8 to 9% was a pure volume, and the rest was the price increase. We had the luck that we had pretty stable flour prices over the last years, so that's very good for our pricing.
Good. Any more questions? Good. So otherwise, I would hand over to Franz from my side on behalf of the management team, Thomas, Carl, Tobias, myself, but not only us, but all the other people. There are a couple of more Valora people here in the room, and also a couple of advisors who helped us on this transaction. We're super pleased that we're here to announce the Backwerk acquisition, but also the expansion of our production capacity. And thank very much my team, and thank very much Carl EQT for the trust that we built throughout this process. And I thank you very much for attending this Investor Day this morning here in Zurich. And with that, I would like to hand over to Franz.
Thank you, Michael. We are 20 minutes ahead of schedule. So in principle, I could now speak for another 20 minutes, but I will not bother you with the conclusion of the conclusion and repeat what was said this morning. But in my opening speech, I mentioned three, for me, important words: logical, simple, and proud. Yes, Michael said the Valora food service journey started with Spettacolo in 2000, but the real food service journey started then with Ditch a few years back. So to continue this journey in food service, it's not a surprise to you at all. It's a reconfirmation what we did the last few years. So it's a very logical step. Moving into Germany is also a very logical step. Same culture, the same language, neighborhood country, big country. So also that's very logical. Moving from there to other neighborhood countries, be it Holland, be it Austria, all that is very, very logical. Simple, I mentioned. Yes, retail is a very competitive environment in general. Retail goes through a huge transformation in every sector. But retail at the end of the day is very simple. Very simple. You need a strong brand. You need traffic. You need a clear positioning. You cannot be everybody's darling. You need vertical integration. We at Valora, we are convinced the winner in the future retail environment are those retailers who control as much as possible their value chain. Together with this vertical integration goes what you mentioned before, a successful private label program. You need an agile, innovative, up-to-date digital approach, and you need an international footprint. all of these requirements Backwerk is fulfilling, and we will continue to develop all our retail banners along this line. Very, very simple. And I said proud. Yes, I'm proud after only 6 months being the chairman to be here today and to announce these major steps. But there is another reason I'm very proud, and that's the management team. I'm sure you've seen over the last few years already, but also today, including our new kid on the block, Carl, that these are competent people. They know what they are talking. Very important, they are passionate about their business. They are willing to make decisions, and they are fast. I remember very well, we both were mid-June in the US, different locations. I got an email from Michael where he told me he wants to talk to me. There is a possible M&A acquisition. We were talking to each other. We were talking about Backwerk. 3 months later, mid-September, we are here. I think there are not many, many transactions which happen in this short period. So I'm very proud about this team. And at the end of the day, we can have the best strategies. Business is and remains people. And therefore, I would also like to thank to my people for all what you are doing every day. I'm a proud chairman. And to conclude, I would like to thank you, as Michael said already, for joining today. Thank you for your continuous support. And I can guarantee we will work hard, that we will not disappoint you, and you can count on us. Thank you.